You're listening to Radio Caravan with host Scott Hayes, healthy lifestyle coach Jill Harvey, and sound engineer April Johnson.
Come on.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and of course, this is Radio Caravan. Hey, just a reminder, I like to do this every morning, that Radio Caravan broadcasts on Cox TV, Channel 3, 8 p.m. every Saturday and 12 noon every Sunday. 8 p.m. Saturday, that's tonight, and 12 noon Sunday, that's tomorrow. And last week we had Caleb Quay, the legendary guitarist from Elton John Band. This weekend he's part of this second part of the show with a musician by the name of Kenny Metcalf. And if you're listeners and if you're going to watch the show tonight, I'm not even going to describe Kenny Metcalf. He has to be experienced. So 8 p.m. tonight, Channel 3, 12 noon tomorrow. Also in the studio today, we have Jim, who's back from a couple of over. He was on the show for one day and then he went on a hiatus or something.
I had to coach some football, man.
Okay, settle down.
Sorry, Pop Warner football. You know, we're in the heat of the fall football season.
So yeah.
Game last weekend in Huntington Beach.
And how's it going?
We have a good team. We lost, unfortunately. Like 40 seconds left, the other team scored a touchdown, and we weren't able to move the ball. But we have playoffs starting tomorrow, and onward and upward.
That sounds good. You coach your son.
I do.
So what age group is this?
This is 12-year-old boys.
12-year-old boys, and your son plays what position?
Outside linebacker and wide receiver.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you love coaching?
It's great.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for a long time, and working with the kids is an awesome experience.
Yeah, that's great. And you're one of the, you know, you're responsible for bringing in a couple of weeks, or maybe it's a month from now, I'm not sure, John Vallely.
Yeah, John Vallely, the former UCLA Bruin during the Wooden era.
Yeah.
Great guy and amazing message.
Yeah.
For himself. I mean, he teaches Coach Wooden's principles and a lot of his business dealings, but he also is a personal cancer survivor. And also, unfortunately, his daughter passed away, and so he's been a huge champion for pediatric cancer research over the last 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
A great guy, great story, and you'll find him to be very, very interesting.
I'm really looking forward to that show. I was a fan of his from the very beginning when he went over to UCLA, local graduate. I think I said last time it was Newport Harbor, but I think it was Corona Del Mar.
Yeah,
sure.
He went to CDM
at
Orange Coast College.
Yeah.
He actually, his nickname was Money before that was like, you know,
yeah,
regular run.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he play with Pete Maravich, do you know?
You know, I think he did when he first came into the league.
Yeah.
He was drafted in the first round back in, I think, 1970.
Uh-huh.
It was. I don't know. We'll learn all about it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. We also have engineer April, of course, who's going to do our Legends of Rock a little bit later this morning, April.
Good morning.
Miss Jill Harvey, our healthy lifestyle coach.
Good morning, morning.
We have photographer Faye Chapman in the background shooting pictures this morning, who's giving us a wave. And Faye, come over here real quickly. You want to tell me just briefly about the Hunger Bowl that's coming up in 2 weeks?
Sure. Good morning. The Hunger Bowl, you can get your tickets at worldhungerbowl.org, and it's only $45, and it goes to help the hungry and the homeless in Laguna, so check it out.
Wait. Come back here. Tell us now about the event.
The event is going to be Thursday, November 6th at 7 degrees.
And there's going to be what?
There's going to be soup from 8 different restaurants and fixins, and desserts from Nick's, and all kinds of good stuff going on.
And musicians and entertainment. And
yes, there's going to be a musician, a guitar guy. His name is Ben from San Diego. And we have a magician. His name is Scott. And so he's going to be really fun. And he's going to be strolling around doing all his magic tricks. So
You're
it's going
magician?
To be a very, very fun evening. Yes.
Not this Scott. Yeah.
I was so excited.
Some guy named Scott and some guy named Ben. That's all we know.
Where do we get tickets again?
Where do we get tickets again?
Worldhungerbowl.org.
Thank you.
And so you want to make sure you go online and purchase those. I just handed her a check this morning to purchase my two, so that's going to be a great event. Hey, young Katie Fetters is in the room.
Good morning.
Good morning. And she's going to give us a couple of quick highlights of some about town stuff going on. Oh, that's much better. Thank you, April.
All right. So this Sunday at 8 p.m., there's a concert at the Observatory in Santa Ana. The American electronic rock band Fantagram is headlining with Deep Sea Diver.
Ooh.
I love them.
Yeah,
they're
really
amazing.
Great.
Well, now that's,
go see it.
That's a voice you haven't been introduced to yet. That's Carrion Muise in the room.
Good morning, everyone.
We'll be talking to her in just a moment. But do you know that group?
Fantagram, they're amazing. I found them on YouTube randomly, and I've been a huge follower. Next thing I know, they're doing the Tonight Show, and they're all over the map, and their music's phenomenal.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they've been around since like 2009, but they've just started getting popular here, I think. So, and also at the Laguna Art Museum, just over on Cliff Drive, the art exhibit opened up October 12th to January 18th, featuring Elizabeth Turk. It's called Sentient Forms, and she's a mixed media artist and sculptor. And I actually looked up some of her pieces, and they look really like exoskeleton-like. It's really neat.
Carrion's raising her hand.
I went to the opening.
First time she's in here, and already she's dominating the room.
Sorry. No, I went to the opening at the Laguna Art Museum because one of the artists we represent was there, but I actually got to meet Elizabeth while she was setting up. Her sculptures, they do look exoskeleton, but what surprised me is they're made of like a marble material. I have no idea how she does it.
I know.
That exhibition is fantastic.
Wonderful. Nice contributions there.
She does like 3D prints as well, too, on the LED screen. So
yeah.
That looks really neat.
Hey, let me stop for a moment. I'm getting feedback or some rustling. Is that me? Is that...
I don't know. I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that as well.
Yeah. So everybody's hearing it. Do you think it's going out over the airwaves? Phil, could you go... Okay. All right, keep going, Katie. We're going to check it out.
Okay, and then actually at Soka University next Wednesday at 7 p.m., we have Nobel laureate Lima Bowie coming in to give a lecture... about.
If Carrie Ann knows this person, I'm leaving.
You've lost your job, Jim.
I do not. You're off the hook.
This is actually a pretty big deal. I think just she's a peace activist. She actually helped end.
Hold on. Is she breaking up?
No, it's all good.
It's all good.
Okay.
I think it's just the headphones.
All right, keep going, Katie. All right.
She's known mostly for helping end the second Liberian Civil War in 2003.
Oh.
So she's going to come and give a talk on, I think, just her views and helping lead a women's peace movement. So that just sounds really interesting. So tickets are actually only $8, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's going to be in the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
It's beautiful there. So everyone should come and join her lecture.
That's good stuff. Thanks,
is
Katie.
Is there any Halloween stuff happening? Any haunted, spooky?
I'm sure there is. I think, you know what, today's the 25th, yes. So in Anaheim, there's actually a parade going on, I believe, a Halloween parade.
A Halloween.
And at the Pumpkin Patch in Irvine, too, there's something going on. So.
Something going on somewhere, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Very nice. Hey, I want to kind of make sure that we move quickly through the first rounds here because we've got a guest all the way down from L.A. I think he drove in from L.A. I'm not really sure, but somewhere up there. He's the multicultural storyteller Michael McCarty. And I'm just – I found this guy looking for guests through a magazine. I had all these lists of people who were appearing in Orange County and speakers and musicians. And the one guy I seemed to have gravitated to was Michael. Because he's got an interesting story to share, and he's a storyteller, which makes him great for radio, right? So he's coming in shortly. Also, by the way, today, I want to make sure I get this right. Today is the third annual People's March Against Bullying at 4 to 5 p.m. at Main Beach here in Laguna Beach. This, of course, is sort of tribute to Daniel Mendez from San Clemente High School, who committed suicide after being bullying his sophomore year. And we had his family here in the studio, and that was obviously a compelling, horrific story. And so they're holding this third annual People's March at 4 p.m. today at Main Beach here in Laguna Beach.
Great.
Carrion.
Good morning.
Good
Scott.
Morning. So you and I have known each other several years.
Oh, yeah. At least a decade.
A decade or so. And you always have stuff going on.
I do.
Yeah. And
you're a busy girl.
You're a busy girl. And you manage to get all this interesting stuff organized. And something's going on tonight?
Tonight.
What's happening?
Organize the Style and Superior event from 6 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
We are a unique artist district in Costa Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
I've gathered all the neighboring businesses. But first and foremost, I do want to thank the sponsors for the event.
Sure.
which are Da Vinci Paint Company, High Times Wine Cellar, Anne's Boutique Wines.
Radio Caravan.
Radio Caravan. We love you. And so I basically what I noticed was a lot of the businesses there, the interior design firms, the Crush Photo Studios, everyone kind of was doing events separately. And so I came in, introduced myself from Find Art Gallery, and just said, hey, you know what? Why don't we coordinate our efforts and do something? So tonight is the very first Style and Superior event, and it's a scavenger hunt from business to business. And we are auctioning off. It's the whole event is complimentary. We are actually having the sommelier, Spready Valentine, come in from Anne's Boutique Wine to pour champagne and white wine for us. Dionys, the motorcycle company across the street, they're having an actual DJ, and they're doing biscotti and espresso.
Wow.
But the idea and the concept and the name Style and Superior actually came from Beach City's car wash, hand car wash. And because one morning I was coming into the gallery, it was Saturday, and I see this Rolls Royce pull out, like he just got his car washed. And I thought, we've got so much style going on here, you know, let's announce that to everyone. And so we're all gathering, basically doing open house for every single person. We've got Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. They're actually donating raffle prize of a bamboo bar that's valued at $200.
That's cool.
And so when you complete the scavenger hunt, you get a free raffle ticket. You can also purchase raffle tickets to increase your luck. But the whole event's complimentary. We've got Viridian. Lisa is so well established in antiques just across the street. Can't leave out Davis Inc., which is an interior design company. 31 Bits.
They're Talk to me about 31 Bits.
I love 31 Bits. I found 31 Bits at the Seed People's Market over at the camp. And
describe it for listeners who don't know what it's about.
Now, 31 Bits, they are a for-profit organization, but they believe in empowerment through through fashion. They believe that the way things are made matters. And so they have artisans in Uganda, women, and they have a recycled jewelry line. So all of their jewelry, there's necklaces, there's actually purses with beads. So all of the beads are made from these artisans in Uganda, and they assemble these beads and make amazing masterpieces, which are available at the Seed People's Market. But more importantly, that they believe in holistic care through counseling, health education, finance training. So they're in essence providing jobs for these women in Uganda who are making a median income, the equivalent of what a teacher would make, but it's just strengthening community. There are so many organizations and businesses there for Find Art. We actually are forming the colony, and that's going to help support positive resistance.
Now, you know, it's hard to get a word in with you because you never take a breath.
My nerves.
Oh, no. No, not at all. We also wanted to talk briefly about positive resistance, right? Talk to me about positive resistance.
I founded Positive Resistance in 2002. I created the business plan while I was living in Paris, came back, created a volunteer organization. It's been featured in Orange Coast Magazine, by CBS. I received the Presidential Volunteer Service Award from President Bush in 2006.
So what is it?
So we believe we support at-risk teens and foster youth. And our mission is to foster resilience, and we believe that a broken home doesn't mean a broken life. So at the Colony, which was the next spinoff from Find Art Gallery, we will be providing art classes for at-risk teens. You can reach out to us at info@findartmagazine.com. Between Nate and I, we have about 6,000 Facebook followers, and we want to empower these teens, so we will actually be providing memberships, and then you can come in with your membership and choose to sponsor a foster child to take, or foster teen, I should say, to take art classes.
Beautiful.
And we're going to be offering a lot of things.
And, you know, you're an incredible artist, and I think you're sort of undervalued in a lot of ways, or underappreciated. I don't think people...
Tell that to the guy who paid $10,000 for my painting.
Oh, okay. Well, he must appreciate you.
That's great.
Hopefully he's not listening.
But we were talking before the show that you created a dress made out of a painting that appeared on NBC Today Show.
It was the Today Show, and so I created this painting, and I couldn't finish it. And it was dedicated to my friend Jeanette O'Keefe, who had passed away while I lived in Paris. Mm-hmm. And for years, I just couldn't, because it was so close to her death and that whole investigation that was an international fiasco. Mm-hmm. So I one day woke up, and I believe it was shortly after her murderer had been found. And I took the painting, I unhinged it from the canvas. I've been sewing my own clothes since high school, so I did the measurements myself. I sewed the actual painting using canvas thread, and the whole entire dress is a painting.
That's amazing. Yeah, and it got a lot of exposure. A lot of people responded.
It was phenomenal.
You wore the dress?
I wore the dress.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful dress.
So. Thank you.
You know, you got a lot going on. We need to get you back on the show more than one time,
absolutely.
I have a feeling. I see a little head shaking yes there. let's remind, 6 to 9 p.m. tonight. Yes. Where should everybody show up?
Now, show up at Find Art Gallery.
Which is located?
Located at 1640 Superior Avenue.
Okay.
And the number is 949-243-0591. Mm-hmm. That's 949-243-0591. We're two blocks away from Hoag Hospital.
Excellent. And give us the website real quickly to Positive Resistance.
That is positiveresistance.org.
www.positiveresistance.org. Excellent job, Carrie, and thank you for coming on today. It was way too short. Hey, I'm feeling like, look at me, everybody.
We're looking at you.
I'm thinking that maybe we postpone and get Michael in here because he's a storyteller, and I have a feel. Are you guys okay with that this morning?
Yeah.
I know we had Legends of Rock. I know we had Healthy Tips.
No worries.
But he's driven down. So
yeah, let's get him in.
Let's take a one-minute musical break and come back, and let's meet Michael McCarty because I think he's going to be a fascinating guest. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
People stay just a little bit longer. We want to play just a little bit longer. Now the promoter don't mind, and the union don't mind if we take a little. One
Okay, you're listening to KX 93.5 Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. We've got a full room going on this morning. Woo-hoo. We've got Jim. Just so we hear Jim's voice real quickly.
Hi, Scott.
There he is.
How you doing, man?
Good. What did you think of Kirian, by the way? You've done a little research.
Very interesting. She's got a lot to... We'll bring her back. She's got a lot of things that she can share that are well beyond what we talked about this morning.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I appreciate the fact that you had research already done and you vetted these.
I like to be prepared, man.
I love that, Wow. Yeah. So I'm just getting to know you, Jim. So this is an interesting experience for us.
Yeah, what did Coach Wooden say?
I don't know.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
There you go. Hey. we also have April, of course, engineering...
Hey.
There she is. And April, I know we're going to do Jackson Browne as the Legends of Rock, but we'll save that for next week.
Well, yeah, that's no problem.
Wonderful. Katie Fetters, of course, in the room. Miss Jill Harvey over in the corner.
Hi.
And Jill, again, because Michael's down.
I am totally on board.
Great. So anybody has a question to pop off to Michael, please do. And, of course, we got photographer extraordinaire Faye Chapman in the background. Woo. So. Hey. Hey, Michael, let me see if I got this right. You're a multicultural storyteller. Who has performed all over the world, especially here in Southern California. You've done Knott's Berry Farm, House of Blues, the Armand Hammer Museum. You were Thursday night just at the Muckenthaler
in Fullerton, yes.
Center in Fullerton. And your performances include such topics as black history, scary stories, trickster's tales. And you've got workshops that include the business of storytelling, life tales, and a well-told story.
Yeah.
Have I got that pretty accurate?
That's good.
I love it. And so you also have, by the way, of saying an infectious laugh.
I have many.
That's great.
Yeah, it makes me smile. Hey, so my first question, why are stories so important to the human condition, do you think?
Storytelling is in our DNA. It's the oldest form of mass communication. I mean, before there was any other performance art, there was storytelling. There was people sharing stories. To best illustrate this, let me give you a little story.
Please do.
My grandson was 7 months old. My stepson and his wife live up in Fairfield, so they'd come down for Christmas. And they have one of those little things that you lay the baby under, stuff spins and stuff goes on. He's just sitting under there.
Yeah.
So I decided to tell him a story. And all I did is I started telling the story. He stopped playing, paying attention, all that. And for 3.5 minutes, he just locked in on listening to me tell a story.
Hmm.
It's in us.
Yeah.
Literally, it's in our DNA.
I love that, yeah. And so you've been telling stories for how many years, would you say?
Well, there's a three-part answer to that question.
Okay.
According to my mother, as long as I could talk. I started telling stories formally when I was in high school in Chicago in the 60s when I discovered all these things about black history that weren't in the history books, and I shared through stories, and I became a professional storyteller as a full-time profession in 1992.
Well, that's beautiful, because then I'm going to date it back a little bit to your days on the west side of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
1950s around then.
Yeah, I was born in 1950.
And
I look good.
You look good. Yeah. You do. How old are you, may I ask?
64.
So you do look good for 64.
Oh, yeah.
Scott, you could have figured that out with a little more.
Oh.
2014.
I wasn't thinking that far ahead. So here's what I found most interesting, though, is that you were a member of the Black Panther movement.
Black Panther Party in Chicago, Illinois chapter of Black Panther.
So I'm interested in that. I don't think I've ever really met anybody who was involved in that movement. And what was that experience sort of like for you? And then you have the story about when you left the apartment at 2 a.m. in the morning. So.
It was a defining moment for me in my life. I was in high school at the time. It was the 60s. There was the Civil Rights Movement. I was in the youth wing of the NAACP. And then there was this organization, the Black Panther Party, started in Oakland by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale in 1966, October of 1966, in fact. And when that organization came to Chicago in 1968, I joined. And the leader was Fred Hampton, who was the deputy chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party. And the organization was revolutionary in many, many ways. It was known initially for its confrontations and policing of the police up in the Oakland area. Then it became known, or rather not often known, for the fact that we had these programs, Breakfast for Children programs. The Black Panther Party had free medical clinics, and in the 60s, we started testing people for sickle cell anemia. a disease which primarily affects people of African descent. And so we had a variety of programs and what have you, and we were, according to J. Edgar Hoover, the number one danger to the country. And the thing that he said was the most dangerous that we did, it wasn't the guns which the organization was known for. He said the most dangerous thing that these Black Panthers do is they feed hungry children.
He said that.
Yeah.
This is on record of him saying that.
Yeah.
And why would he say something like that, do you suppose?
Well, we were doing something that at the time the government wasn't.
Ah.
All right. And a lot of those programs that we started, that now you have these breakfasts in schools and what have you, those weren't going on at the time.
Hmm.
So we had this man, Fred Hampton, who was a leader of the organization, a very charismatic and dynamic leader, and number one on the FBI hit list. So
Wait a minute. Let me back up. They had their own hit list?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a new book, The Burglary, about the burglary at the FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania in 1971, I believe it was. And they discovered COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program, where a variety of techniques were used to undermine organizations and individuals, and among those, the Black Panther Party.
Hmm.
So our head of security was the FBI plant. And he did a variety of activities to try to get people in the party in trouble. But most notably what he did, Fred Hampton was assassinated December 4th, 1969, about 4 a.m. The night before, William O'Neill, this head of security, gave him a glass of Kool-Aid, which contained 6 times the lethal dose of Seconal.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this sort of on record as being an accurate sort of reflection of that time period?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. In fact, there was a court case because the Panthers who survived that raid won their court case that there was murder going on because Fred was alive at the end of the raid. And then one of the survivors heard one of the cops say, "He's still alive." And then there were 2 shots.
Hmm.
They put 2 bullets into his head.
You were in his apartment that night?
The raid happened at 4 a.m. I left that apartment at 2.
And what made you leave the apartment at 2 hours before he was assassinated?
Grace of God. Mm-hmm. Because I woke up from a dead sleep and decided to go to my parents' home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on public transportation, so by the time I got home, got in bed, the phone rang, and I was notified of the raid.
Hmm. What was the failure of that particular movement? Why did it not survive beyond the years that it did?
The all-out war on that organization and the movement.
Mm-hmm.
The COINTELPRO program pitted people within organizations. Oh, I'll give you an example. After my wife and I, my first wife and I, we were members of the Black Panther Party. We left the organization in 1970. I was approached by the FBI. They wanted me to rejoin the organization and be an informer.
Hmm.
I told them what they could do with that concept.
Wow, yeah.
And
on radio.
And I don't use that kind of language anymore.
All right.
They said, "You can work for us or you won't work. We can make your life very difficult."
Hmm.
Anybody who ever saw Enemy of the State, they did that to my life.
Hmm.
They had a woman calling my wife like she was my girlfriend.
Hmm.
I was working at the post office. They sent me this document. For those of you who are on radio, you can't see me holding up my hands the space of a phone book.
Mm-hmm.
They had how many weapons I own, conversations I had with people. Later on, my wife would get her FBI file and I would get mine. They had, when we had arguments, when we had sex.
Hmm. You had your own FBI documents?
Yes.
Jim?
Let me ask you a question, Michael. So I'm from Chicago originally. My parents were there at the same time that you were talking about. So, in 1968, during the Democratic National Convention, where were you?
Ah, the Democratic National Convention. That was the big hoopla. I was probably out selling, 1968, that was the summer of 1968.
Right.
That was before the party officially came to Chicago, and I was in the NAACP at the time. And I was not there for some reason because I was doing something else.
Okay.
Because one of my buddies and his girlfriend, they went, and we were usually always together, but for some reason I wasn't there. And he ended up getting beaten and arrested and charged as an adult for something, which fortunately it was later dropped.
Yeah, Scott, this was a crazy time back then.
Totally.
I think there was a common theme, whether you were black or white or whatever, creed or religion. great mistrust of government, great mistrust of authorities, police, FBI. And I think that was just a common theme among young people, no matter where they came from.
And the cause of that event, that 68 event, and then a later riot, because there were, that was in Grant Park.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there were, Michigan Avenue, you got shop owners, what have you. So shop owners were standing in the door, and police were snatching these shop owners out and beating and arresting them. So it really broadened the involvement of people, because here you are, you're just somebody standing around, yep, and all of a sudden, you're beaten all the heck, and you're in a jail cell.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were yeah, very challenging times.
So how did those years, West Side of Chicago, member of the Black Panther movement, how did those years influence your decision to become ultimately a storyteller?
Well, storytelling is something that I've always done, and I was always exposed to. My mom was my storyteller. Mm-hmm. And I can remember when I was 2 years old, my mom reading and telling me stories. And so storytelling was like breathing for me. And as I mentioned, I'd started doing it in high school. So when I came out to Los Angeles, I actually got stuck out here. That's a whole nother story. I'm glad I got stuck. I came out here, and in 1992, I was introduced to a guy named Joel Benizzi. I happened to be at CAGE, the Conference on Alternatives in Jewish Education, and that, too, is another story.
Everything's a story for you.
And it all is. And he was introduced to me as a professional storyteller. I said, you do what? People pay you to tell stories? How you do that? So mm-hmm, I picked his brain. And while talking, it came to me. I said, I'm going to do this, and my motto was going to be, have mouth, we'll run it.
And that's your website.
That's my website. Yeah. And I asked myself, what would I do as a profession if I was independently wealthy? I said, I'd tell stories, and I've been running my mouth around the country and around the world ever since.
That's beautiful. By the way, you're listening to KIX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. This, of course, is Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes, and you're listening to the multicultural storyteller Michael McCarty, who has performed all over the world.
You know, Mike and I have something in common.
What's that?
I'm a professional storyteller.
Are you?
Yeah.
In what respect?
I'm a lawyer.
That's what we do. That's it. I have a bunch of my friends, including the gentleman I mentioned, Joel. They give workshops for attorneys in storytelling.
Yeah.
Recently, I read an article about Apple's having a suit against, I think it was Samsung. And one of the jurors said, essentially, the Apple attorneys told a better story.
That is interesting, yeah.
No, it comes up. I mean, honestly, every time I talk to a client or I'm dealing with another party, mm-hmm, they like to hear stories. Mm-hmm. So I'll often relate prior experiences to their situation, mm-hmm, and they can think, okay, they actually can feel tangibly what my prior client was dealing with, and then it makes them feel at ease with their situation. Mm-hmm. So we call them war stories. We tell a war story from a prior case, make it applicable to their situation. And
why do people resonate then?
Yes. I'm ready for you.
All right, go.
So there's a friend of mine, Annette Simmons. She has a book called The Story Factor. Annette specializes in working with corporations and telling them how to utilize their stories. In her book, she cites these two examples. The one, she's in a tent at the National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee, biggest storytelling festival in the country. And the next storyteller going up is a black man. And there's a white guy sitting there, Annette, who, how shall I describe him? Racist, redneck, cracker kind of guy. And he essentially says, there's nothing a black man got to say that I want to hear.
That's what he said?
And he didn't say black man.
Yeah. Oh.
And he's not giving up his seat because he's got his seat. And so he's going to stay, but he's going to not pay attention. Mm-hmm. So the gentleman gets up and is telling a story about the civil rights movement. He and some friends were about to participate in a demonstration the following day. They were concerned and worried. To assuage their fear, they would sing these spirituals. And as he was telling the story, he would lead the audience in these spirituals. Annette looks up. Old redneck racist cracker is singing along and listening to the stories. And she saw how this story pulled him in despite his attitude. The other example she gives, there was a big conference at some corporation, and this young guy who was being groomed to take over was going to be one of the speakers. People had attitude about him. because Silver Spoon, he didn't do anything. And instead of getting up there and reciting his resume or what have you, he told these stories about the ups, downs, and sideways he'd experienced in his life and how he had learned various lessons from them. With a story, you get insight into a person much more than you can with just a recitation of facts. Mm-hmm. And then there's that resonance with story. Watch people. If you're at a college and listening to a lecture, people are like this. Go to a storytelling event. People are like that. They're leaning forward. They're listening. Yeah. They're drawn into the story. Mm-hmm. We like I said, it is literally in the DNA. A friend of mine has a book, The Science of Storytelling, something like that, where they have found the gene. It is literally in our DNA. And
the storytelling gene?
Yeah, there's a storytelling gene.
Hmm. Michael, so some people might think that storytelling is fiction, but it doesn't need to be, does it?
It doesn't need to be. In fact, stories, the first stories were true stories. The first stories were experiences that were being shared. And still a great deal of storytelling is that.
And passed by generation to generation.
Generation to generation. And then the folklore, the mythology, the fables, and all these things came to describe the world around them, because it's in that form of stories which we resonate to. One of the organizations that's across the nation is The Moth. The Moth, you can hear them on radio. They have events in L.A., New York, Chicago, Denver, Minnesota. People sharing their personal stories. And people line up. When they first came to Los Angeles, they were at UCLA at Royce Hall. It was sold out. That's over 1,000 people paying, I think it was $30+ a pop plus parking to hear five people tell stories. Hmm. So as we've become more technological,
I was going to say,
storytelling has grown.
Yeah, is there story? This is sort of an obscure question, I guess, but do you believe there's storytelling going on over the internet these days in the world of these tweets and these emoticons and all that sort of stuff?
There's a whole branch now, digital storytelling.
Yeah.
There's a friend of mine up in the Bay Area, but it's all over.
What makes a good storyteller?
It helps to be crazy.
Yes. Do you consider yourself a little bit on the crazy side?
No, not a little bit. As Robin Williams used to say, full tilt bozo.
Love that. Love that.
And so that helps. And also, I give workshops on storytelling.
Right.
And I tell people, my number one rule, you tell stories that you love. Mm-hmm. You tell stories that mean something to you. You don't try to preach or what have you. You just share your story.
So we're going to come. We're going to take a one-minute musical break. We're going to come back. And Michael, I hope that you're going to share with us one or two stories. You're listening to KX 93.5 Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. We're back in 60 seconds, April.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my say if it's too late for me.
prize for having learned how not to cry.
You're listening to KEX 93.5. You know what, Jim? You yes. Try saying it.
You're KEX 93.5. Laguna's only FM.
This is Radio Caravan?
This is Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes.
And
I'm Jim Bash.
There you go. Round of applause. Golf clap for Jim.
Oh, yeah. I think we should all try and see who does the best.
We'll do it once every other week. Yeah, not all at the same time. That could get a little overwhelming, I think. Hey, Michael, by the way, we have Michael McCarty in the room here, a storyteller. Did you drive down from Los Angeles about? Yeah, yeah, okay, so I appreciate that, by the way. I know that's a long drive. So, and you were actually here early.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can barely get Jill here on time, and she's part of the team.
Hey,
but you get
I'm here. I'm good.
Yeah.
But you look the best.
But I do live the furthest away here.
Well.
I'm out in Rancho.
Well, that's true.
Close to.
All right.
Oh, that's true. We should carpool.
You could, I guess. Could you give us a sort of a short lesson on the art of storytelling?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a problem. One of the things that I do in teaching storytelling is, one, I want people to find stories from their lives, all right? And so what I do is this. I say, okay, I want you to think of an incident in your life and give it a title. And I'll tell them, I want you to write 5 to 10 of them down. And then I have them tell that story. Now, this is a technique I use in writing the book that I'm working on right now.
Oh.
Because we have titles. We have these incidents in our lives. If you give it a title, you got it.
It kind of gives you a sense of the story already?
Yeah.
How interesting.
And then I always tell people, start with the ending. Figure out where you're going in the story. How is the story going to end? And then get there. And there are a variety of ways to get there. And it can be long and circuitous, or it can be bing, bing, bam.
Yeah.
But know where you're going. And then, as I said, tell a story that you love. Tell a story that means something to you.
I love that. Can you actually make a living? Look, I've been a freelance writer my entire adult life. Very difficult to make money as a freelance writer. I've got to believe it's even more difficult to make money as a storyteller.
Well, it was. It has been since the 08.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it for over 20 years. There are a lot of us that do it. Not just here in this country, but around the world. I just performed at a storytelling festival in Colombia, Bucaramanga, Colombia, and there were storytellers from France, from Morocco, from New Zealand, from all over, and people who do this as a living. In Europe, I have a friend over there. They have a storytelling consortium of some sort or another. So, yes, it's possible to do it.
And you've been doing this about, like, I think you said, the last 18 years or so?
22 years.
22 years. And where do you travel around the world, and what sort of stories are you sharing that are relevant to people in other countries?
Okay, variety of things. Okay, let's see. In South Africa, I've been to South Africa, been to Russia, and I told a variety of stories. I have had some very interesting spiritual experiences. I have a spiritual teacher that also takes me sharing stories. One of the things I do is I tell stories in drug rehab facilities. I went through some stuff of myself. What is now called crack was then called freebase in the 70s. I was in and out of that in the 70s.
Okay.
And I share stories about my experience. I do it with intensity, and I do it with humor. I don't preach. I don't tell anybody what they should or shouldn't do. I ain't authorized.
Yeah.
I have smoked up continents myself. So I can't tell you what not to do, but I can share my experience.
Can you share a one-minute experience from the period of your life where you were most heavily into drugs?
Ah, okay. Here's a classic example. So I'm at a drug detox facility sharing my experience. The most popular thing going on is crack, smoking cocaine. And I tell this. There was a point where my heart was racing. I had been smoking, my heart was racing. It was like my heart wanted to leave my chest, and I knew that I was about to die. And my only thought was, I hoped my heart would slow down enough. And when I say this next part, most of the audience joins in with me so that I could take one more hit and go out on the rush.
Wow.
And that entire audience, because they've all been there.
I was going to say, that must really define sort of the addiction.
It is. It does. Because, you know, people who have no drug experience, who work with people in drugs, say, well, you know, you might die. Yeah, duh. Mm-hmm. That's not the issue.
How did you get off?
They say that you're always chasing that first hit. I started in August of 1978. I ended in August of 1979. I was in Chicago over in Old Town. This guy told me he had a way to cook it up that would knock my socks off. I was like, moi? And I went by his place, took some very fine quality powder, and he cooked it up. I took a hit. And for the first time in a year, I was scared. I started rushing like I never rushed before. I sat on a stool, like the one I'm sitting on now, for an hour, afraid to breathe. And then I woke up. It was as if I'd been in a fog, because I had smoked up all my money. I had a beautiful woman I was going to marry. I left her, just ignored her. I had a job. I was in DeVry to be an electrical engineer. All that had gone away. And in that instant, I woke up. And then I started changing my life.
Did you quit cold turkey? Did you kind of go off and on for several months or years?
I quit Freebase. Well, the next day I tried to hit the pipe again. I couldn't do it like I had before. Mm-hmm. So I became a health nut.
Drug-free today?
Yes. Drug-free since December 31st, 1984, 7 p.m.
Yeah. Wow. Excellent. Do you remember?
Scott, how long is that?
Here we go.
Come on now. 1984.
I'm not good at math. That's why I studied English. Has there ever been sort of a interesting reaction to one of your audience members listening to one of your stories? Somebody who's either had, some sort of cathartic moment, somebody who came up to you afterward and shared a compelling story. Mm. Any sort of reaction to one of the stories you were sharing?
Oh, yeah. This is a goodie. So I became a storyteller professionally in 1992. My second wife left me because she thought I'd lost my mind, and there were times when I thought she was right. I was at a funeral of a friend, and I saw this guy standing off to the side, and I went to introduce myself. He said, what's your name? I said, Michael McCarty. He says, you're from Chicago. I said, yeah. He said, you went to St. Finbar. The elementary school I'd gone to. He had gone to the same school. He was 4 years behind me. When he was in eighth grade, and I had just gotten kicked out of high school for leading a walkout, his eighth grade teacher had invited me to come and tell stories to the class and talk about the civil rights movement and Black Power movement. He tells me how the stories that I had told that day had affected his life and the life of several of his classmates. Mm. And how, as a teacher, he imparted to his students lessons based on the stories that I had told him that day in 1969.
Well, that must make you feel awfully good when you know that you can have that sort of effect on a person's life just through your own storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, this is KX 93.5. I have to get the business out of, so I apologize. KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this, of course, is Radio Caravan. We're in the studio this morning with storyteller Michael McCarty. Jim, did you have a comment?
No, I was just saying, Mike and I have another common thing. We Irish Catholic kids from Chicago went to Catholic school.
Well, yeah.
Are you an Irish Catholic kid?
I am.
That surprises me. Where can people find you? What's the next event that people can see you at? What's your website? Kind of take us there a little bit.
Well, let's see. How to find me? My website is halfmouthwillrunit.com. I have a Facebook page that is public. You can find me there. I am told I am the king of the positive post. I also work with, I have an organization with my friend Ken Frawley. We're doing Dream Shapers, dreamshapers.org. We are an organization of children's performers, children's music, magicians, jugglers, storytellers, of course, all kinds of acts.
You do a lot with children.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and why? Why do you feel it's important to kind of reach out to the children?
My God, it's so important. It's one, being in a setting where they come to understand that education and fun are not two different things. Because mm-hmm. my stories sometimes teach, don't tell them that. All right? So it's also important, and I'll tell you, this was a story that would be funny if it wasn't so sad. So for 20 years, I've been doing Black History Month programs. Mm-hmm. And every year I have asked this question, name me a famous person in black history. And the number one answer is?
Martin Luther King.
And then I say, why is he famous? A look of confusion and puzzlement comes over faces. And this is the answer I have gotten at least once at every setting for over 20 years. He freed the slaves. And there's...
What does that say to you?
Something missing in the education.
Yes.
Okay, something missing. Mm-hmm. Something missing. I mean, my daughter is a teacher in Chicago, and a principal at a school she was at actually said to her that teaching history was a waste of time. And we all know that phrase, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
Right.
And look around.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's important to tell stories. It's important to motivate kids. I've been telling stories as a professional for 22 years, but I've been telling stories much longer than that. And I encounter adults who now have children who remember me telling them
That's
stories.
Nice.
Oh, yes, it is. Sometimes it makes my back hurt. But it's amazing. They remember the stories that I told them.
Is it part of... I got two questions I want to get to after this next one, by the way, and I know we only got about 4 minutes. Is performance art part of being a good storyteller? Mm-hmm. The voices, the inflections, the body language, the facial expressions, all that sort of stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
And no. I have a couple of friends who are the polar opposite of me. Mm-hmm. I'm a human cartoon. I'm leaping, I'm bounding. Occasionally a movement of their head and a hand.
Interesting.
And they captivated audience just as much as me with my antics, if you
will. Well, when you think about it, I mean, that one movement of the head or that one hand signal really focuses on those two body languages for that particular part of the story, I guess.
And that's part of what I tell people teaching them to tell stories. Mm-hmm. You find your way.
Yeah.
If you're crazy and wild, fine. Yeah. If not, find your quiet way to tell your stories.
All right, so I'm thinking about this, and I don't know. I didn't ask you this beforehand and prep you for this question. All right?
No
so
problem.
I'm going to give you all the time you need to think about an answer, but if you were to tell one last story that best represents who you are as a person, you already have your answer. I can see that. If you were to tell one last story that best represents the core of who you are as a person, what would that story be? And don't even tell me the story. I mean, tell me the story. Don't tell me what it would be. Yeah.
In 1995, my daughter graduated from University of Illinois with a degree in education. Just before the graduation ceremony was about to commence, I pulled my daughter to the side and said, Carla, it is my right, indeed my duty as your father, to embarrass you at this wonderful moment in your life. I said, when you go across that stage to get your diploma, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to yell at the top of my lungs, that's my baby! My daughter knows me. She knows that I am going to do this. She knows that there is no escape. She says, okay, daddy, but daddy, please, daddy, don't do your yell. What a great idea. And that's the end of that.
That's beautiful. I love the sound effects there. What does that story say about you as a person? What does that say about you as a person?
That I am crazily mad in love with my daughter and love showing her off.
Very nice.
That's beautiful. You seem to embrace life.
I do. Life is too short to feel bad.
Yeah. Do you ever have down moments? You ever feel like you're just not getting along with life?
The operative term is moments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have, moments.
Uh-huh.
And my philosophy is, as I said, life is too short to feel bad. So every morning I start off, I have my prayers, I read the comics. I get my chuckle on each and every day.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I gotta laugh.
Are you a man with faith?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got stories about that. That's a whole bunch of other stories.
Yeah.
Michael, so do you do any voiceover work?
I have done some voiceover work. And if you want to get a big chuckle, go to YouTube, put in Skittles Giraffe. You'll see my Skittles commercial.
Nice. So what about with audiobooks and everything online and downloads? How does that play with storytelling in terms of reading in a creative way something that's already been published?
Well, if it pays good, it's fine.
Great answer.
Hey, we got 1 minute here. I'm looking at your business card. Michael McCarty, storyteller. Have mouth, will travel.
Have mouth, will run it.
Well, run it.com. I got the new contacts in. I'm having a hard time. But there's a great rendition, an art, a piece of artwork of you as a person, and you had a 30-second story to share with me about that?
I was at a conference. I met this woman from Southern California. She didn't know about all the storytelling stuff going on. Yeah. I told her I would hook her up, and I did.
Yeah.
And she did that caricature of me as a thank you. And the funny thing was, while she was working on the caricature, she took it up to a library in Simi Valley and just showed it to the librarian. And she said, "That's Michael McCarty."
Oh, how funny. Nice, nice. All right, beautiful. You've been listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. Jim, any last thoughts before we head out?
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins. Okay, there you go. Hey, Michael McCarty in the room. HaveMouthWillRunIt.com. Beautiful, Michael. Thank you so much for coming down,
Thanks
too.
Thanks for having me.
It was very enjoyable. All right, April, take us out of here with a little music, if you would. Please, up next, The Friendship Show.